Bibles.
And turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And we're trying to dig into this text a little bit and get to the heart of the issue, the meat of the word. And so we want to make sure that we have our definitions correct, and that's the main goal of what we're doing here today. We're trying to understand what Paul is actually saying here. Romans 3, and then we'll read 21 again and following. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now the verse for today, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let's pray. And Father, as we come to this most important text, I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive what you have for us. And I pray that we would not assume that we know all about it, because these are familiar words to us. No, lead us deeper today into the truth. Give us a clearer understanding of the truth, and then may we compare ourselves with the truth and make sure that we are in agreement with it. Help us to understand, and then, Lord, help us to take the good news that we've heard and share it with others, that they too might receive the blessing of the wonderful things that we have recorded in this particular verse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul has convicted man of sin, and he has made it very plain to us that there will be no such thing as a justification on the basis of law keeping. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But there is a righteousness. There is a righteousness available for us. Verse 21, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifest. It's been uncovered. It's been made visible, as it were, not to our eyesight, but in our mind of understanding. It's been revealed to the eye of our understanding, I should say, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So what Paul is talking about here is not something that is completely foreign. It was witnessed to by the law, and it was witnessed to also by the prophets. It's the righteousness of God. The righteousness which comes from God is what he's saying here, through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there's no distinction. When he says all those who believe, he's talking about all Jews and all Gentiles. That includes all men. Why? Why must it be such that this righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ and not on the basis of law keeping? Well, the reason is that all have sinned. All have missed the mark, literally, is what he's saying. They did not keep the law. There is no such thing among men, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as someone who is a law keeper. There are none. All have sinned. And so there can be no justification on the basis of law keeping. All fall short of the glory of God. Nobody reaches all the way and complies with all the standards of God found in the law. And in order to be justified on the basis of law-keeping, we would have to comply with every standard of God all the time. Every standard, all the time. Now, some people have devised a way to get around this, and they've set up their own standards. And so you go to this church, and you hear that set of standards. You move down the street to another church, and you hear a different set of standards. The ironic thing is that no one even lives up to that set of standards. But you know, there's really only one set of standards in the Bible that God recognizes. Only one set. And that's, if you're going to be justified by law now, there's only one set that God recognizes, and that is the set of precepts found in the Mosaic system. It's the only one he recognizes. Now, there's 613 of them, and that's enough to keep you busy for a long time. Nobody ever complied. It's just, I mean, the thought of the thing, it's impossible. I mean, you think of the simple commandment, you shall not lie, and I'm finished. Because I already have. I don't have to go beyond that one. There's no such thing as justification on the basis of law keeping. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that condemns us right there. Being justified then as a gift by His grace, verse 24, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, would you stand up where you are and define this word justified, being justified, what would your definition be? What would your definition be? Well, it's an absolutely essential thing that we understand this. It's absolutely essential that we understand what the word justification or being justified means. You see, if you don't understand what that means, if you don't understand at least the meaning in it, you may not be that familiar with the word, but if you don't understand the meaning in it, you cannot be saved. Everything hinges on this. It's absolutely critical. And that's why I want to spend the time that I've set aside on it today. Now, the word righteousness there in verse 21, notice, righteousness is a related word. Now, when the Greek picked up his Bible and looked at this, he saw it because he could see instantly that it was a related word to this one that is translated being justified. This is the noun, basically, here. The word righteousness is the noun form. First thing I do is write it in Greek. Let me see if I can do this in English. Okay, a transliteration. This is supposed to be a D. Okay? Dikaiosune. Dikaiosune is the noun form of the word. I write that out because you'll be able to see that when the Greek saw his Bible, he knew these words were related. And the word that we have here, translated being justified, comes from the noun dikaio. Now, you see the similarity in the way those words sound. I mean, you can see it there. Dikaiosune, dikaio. Now, there are other noun words that are sometimes translated with justification words. They are not really found. Dikaioma, dikaiosis, also related words. But in this particular passage, you can see that Paul has a common theme here. In verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness, the dikaiosune of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness, even the dikaiosune of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified. Dikaiao. Well, that's not the way it is. That's not the form of the word, but that's the verb. Dikaiao, as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So whenever we're talking about being justified, we're talking about the concept of righteousness. When we talk about righteousness, we're talking about the concept of being justified. They are related words in the Greek, one being the noun, the other one being the verb. And this can be confusing to us. I pointed it out before. Many people have been confused about the concept of faith versus believe. Well, faith is the noun, pistis, and believe is the verb, pisteo or pistuo. So they're very related, and we need to see that. Justified is a passive verb. It is a passive verb. You remember your English? Nothing different here. It's passive. This is not something that we're doing for ourselves. We're being acted upon. Somebody else is doing it. We're being acted upon from without, something that God does in the context. Now, what is justification? I could put a little, I could have a little test. I could bring out my Protestant versus Catholic test again. And those of you who are here on Wednesday night, you remember that. Is justification God making me righteous and then declaring me to be righteous? Or is justification God declaring me righteous and then setting out to make me righteous? Which is it? Now, you're going to make a decision in your mind. All right? You've made that decision. The first one is wrong. Justification is not God making me righteous and then declaring me righteous. That is Catholic theology. And if that is your view of justification, I'm not surprised that you don't have assurance of your salvation, because you're not real sure yet whether or not you've been made righteous enough to be declared righteous. And you're in a quagmire, and you're struggling, and you don't have peace, and you don't have assurance, and you don't know where you're going when you die. But if your view of justification is accurate, first, God declares me righteous. That is the core of the issue right there. God declares me righteous. Now, the other part that I attached is really not a part of the definition. But one who has been declared righteous, in that person, God will then set about, through the activity of the Word, other believers, and the Holy Spirit, to bring about righteous living. But this is essential, and this is the core of the issue, is that justification is that point in time when God declares me righteous. It is a forensic term. You remember Quincy? He was into forensic medicine, and you thought that had something to do with performing autopsies on dead bodies, didn't you? No, the word forensic just means legal. He was into legal medicine. He was into the criminal aspect to see whether or not some crime had been committed. He would check this body out to see if there were poisons in the body often. Forensic medicine is that aspect of medicine which has to do with the law. Well, this is a forensic term. It is a term that had legal implications. Okay? It had courtroom implications. And there would be a big trial, and the evidence would be presented, and there would be a jury in our system, and they would hear all the evidence, and in the end, somebody would make a decision. And this person who was on trial would be declared righteous or declared guilty. Now, he was simply declared righteous. If that was the conclusion of the court, he was simply declared righteous. Was it absolutely certain that he was righteous? The court might have made a mistake. And our courts make mistakes sometimes. And they declare people innocent. They declare people not guilty. They declare people righteous who are in fact guilty. But nevertheless, he is declared righteous and he is treated as righteous. You may go now. You can leave. You're finished. The trial is over. You're declared righteous. He goes out as if righteous. He may be guilty, but he goes out as if righteous. This is the concept that we have here. It seems to be a fiction in our minds, because as we examine ourselves and we know the truth about ourselves, and that fellow, as he walks out of the court, he knows the truth about himself. What is the truth about ourselves? We aren't righteous. That's the truth. How can God declare us righteous? Because somebody else already paid the debt. Somebody else paid the price for our sins. And that price has been, and here's another legal term, that price has been imputed to our heavenly account book. So justification is that act of God in which he imputes our sin to Christ. Christ is not a sinner, but he gets the credit for our sin. He becomes the victim, and the responsibility for our sin is placed on him. Our sin is imputed to Christ, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Okay, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. And so God has a heavenly account book, and we have debts, we have credits, and then we have the balance over here, all right? And so we have these columns. Well, I wonder what's in your debt column. All of sin. Fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And so here's my name. I won't use yours. All right? Sinner. You know, I got all kind of sins there. Well, what are the credits? I can't come up with anything. Because by the works of the law, no flesh is going to be justified in his sight. So whatever I thought counted, God says doesn't count. And so instead, when I believe, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to my account book. And what's my balance? I have eternal life. I get to live. I don't have to die for the sins that I committed. So I have the righteousness of Christ credited to my account book when I believe. And God says, you can live. You're free. Free to go. Beautiful thing. Beautiful concept. Now, how many times do I get justified in my life? One time. That's all. One time. It happens once. And it needs to be noted about this concept that when I am justified, it is a righteousness, as I said, which is only accredited. It is imputed. And it is something that is outside of me. God does not make me righteous and then declare me righteous. God, in this act, does not impart to me the righteousness of Christ. It is not imparted righteousness. It is imputed righteousness. If it were imparted righteousness, then I could say, first God makes me righteous. He has imparted to me the righteousness of Christ. And now, since I really am righteous, he can declare me righteous. No, that's not it. It's imputed righteousness. And it is completely outside of me. My righteousness, this righteousness that I'm talking about here, is not in me. It is in heaven, in Christ, and God has accredited my account book with it. It is non-experiential. When I believe, I don't sit there and wait to get zapped. I don't feel anything. Okay, I feel it now. Here it comes. Now. No, it's not that at all. It is holy, non-experiential. I don't feel anything. I believe, and it's done. My heavenly account book, and by the way, I don't know what the book looks like. But at that moment in time, my heavenly account book is accredited with the righteousness of Christ. And it's all done. It happens just that one time. It's all done. Now, by the way, when this happens, I am not merely declared not guilty. Many people hear the, what does justified mean? And they come up with this little thing, just as if I'd never sinned. Well, that's okay, but that's not the whole story. That gets me back essentially to where Adam was before the fall, just as if I'd never sinned. This is better than that. This is positive righteousness. It's not merely being declared not guilty. That would be forgiveness. It's not merely an acquittal, like not guilty. It's not merely that. And so it isn't just as if I'd never sinned. No, my heavenly account book does not merely state forgiven, but it actually has in there accredited what? This enormous, overwhelming thing known as the righteousness of Christ. It is a positive righteousness which is now mine. It's not merely not guilty. But I have the righteousness of Christ on the books. And that is an overwhelming thing. It's beyond my ability to grasp because his righteousness exceeds our finite minds. This justification that I'm talking about here is not progressive. It only happens once at a point in time. I'm not now today more justified than I was the day I believed. I'm not more justified now. My justification is not progressive. It's not growing. It's not getting better. I can't say, boy, I'm really getting there now. I'm more justified than I used to be. No, no. It happens at a point in time, and it is perfect, and it is complete. So justification, and this is the most important point, the difference here, justification is not God making me righteous and then declaring me to be so. He simply pronounces me so and treats me as such. Now you say, well, how do you know then if you don't feel anything, it's not progressive, you don't, there's no experiential thing here connected, then what is the test of justification? How do I know if, in fact, I have been justified? Now, this is an important question that confronts the church today. And people are being jerked in all sorts of directions on this point. How do I know if I have been justified? Do I look to my feeling? I've already said it's non-experiential. You don't feel anything. Do I look to my behavior? I've already said it's not experiential. It's something that occurs in heaven at the moment I believe. I didn't feel this happening over here. That's in heaven. So I really don't even look to my works. The test of justification is to be found in the Word of God. Now, he doesn't mention faith in this verse. He could have, but he already took care of that in verse 22 when he was really talking about the same subject. Remember the related concept, righteousness and justification. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. So if I look to the Word of God and I look at this, many people have been saved, by the way. I believe it was William Cowper, the great poet, who was saved reading this very passage of Scripture. And he read along and he realized what God had done for him in Christ. And he believed the Word. And it was at that moment that he was declared righteous. It was at that moment that he was saved. And so how do you know you've been justified? Do you believe the Word? That is the only biblical basis for assurance. Now, when the devil causes you to doubt your salvation, and now don't tell me that the devil doesn't try to cause you to doubt your salvation, because I'm not going to believe that. I know that the devil will try to cause the Lord's people to doubt their salvation. Because if he can get you to doubt that, then you are stunted, you are finished as far as making any progress in your Christian life is concerned. Now, when the devil tries to get you to doubt your salvation, which I know he already has, what do you do? Do you look to your behavior? Do you say, well, a non-Christian wouldn't live the kind of holy life that I live? I bet you that the devil can shoot that argument full of holes real fast, because he can bring up people in your mind who may be living a more holy life than you. They may not even be saved. They look more holy, at least. They seem to be kind. They're more forgiving. They're more patient. They take care of their own people like they ought to. And all of a sudden, you begin to think, man, maybe I'm really not saved. Or maybe the devil will point to you a case of a pastor who preached for years and then got saved. And you look to your life and you think, man, maybe I'm not really saved after all. We are in sinking sand if we look to our works for assurance. The test of justification is in the Bible. Do I believe what God says in His Word? Now, if I believe what God says in His Word, then I can have assurance. But if I look to anything other than Christ in the Word for assurance, I won't have it. I can promise you that if you're looking to your behavior today for assurance of your salvation, you're doubting your salvation. Because there are many things in your life that ought not be there. There's a lot of things about myself I don't like. And if I had to base my assurance of my justification on my behavior, I wouldn't have any. I'm not saying that Christ doesn't make a difference in your life. And I'm not saying that you're not living differently than you might have if you'd never been saved. I'm not saying that. Because I really believe there isn't any such thing. Now, hang on. I don't really believe that there's any such thing as justification without sanctification. Sanctification will follow justification. What I'm saying is, don't ever try to get your assurance of your salvation from your sanctification. That's what I'm saying. Because our sanctification is never perfect, you know. Yes, there's real progress that's been made. Yes. And God's bringing us along in His own time. And one day we're going to be separated from the very presence of sin. That's a fact. But some people's sanctification leaves an awful lot to be desired. And frankly, if we all were completely honest today, and we're not going to do this, even though James says confess your sins to one another, we could stand up, and if we were completely honest today, we could start confessing our sins to one another. And there would be plenty to say. Plenty. We got a long ways to go. Don't base your assurance of your salvation on your behavior. Because you won't be able to... Listen, your sanctification is going to be stunted as long as you're looking to your sanctification for assurance. You look to the Word for the only real evidence that there is that you're justified. I see it here in the Bible, being justified. I believe the Bible. I am justified. The one who has faith is justified. Being justified. Present tense just means it's going on around you. Doesn't mean it's progressive. I'm getting more and more justified. He means that people are being justified today. As they hear the Word and believe, if you're a Greeker, it's an iterative present. It's going on periodically. The gospel is being preached. People are being justified as they believe. Doesn't mean that I'm continuously being justified, but it's a reference to the overall picture. And it's as a gift note. I like that. As a gift. I got some more sheets, but very little more time. As a gift. I tell you, I can't write these Greek words in English letters. There. Not quite. Doreon is the word. Doreon is a word. I want you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 25. Verse 25, John 15. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You know what it says? They hated me doreon. They hated me freely. Now, the word literally means without a cause. And so that's what we want to put down. Without a cause. Was there any cause in Jesus why these people should hate him? Really, any legitimate cause in Jesus why these people should hate him? None whatsoever. Is there any legitimate cause in you why God should justify you? Yeah. None. Being justified without a cause. And that obviously means, then, freely. Being justified as a gift. Many people do not believe this. As a gift, we heard it earlier, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. As a gift. It's free. Now, it means literally without a payment, or gratis. We're justified, declared upright as a gift. Now, if I give you a gift, say I give you a gift, a real gift, give you this pen. If I give you a gift, now listen carefully. If there are any circumstances under which I can come back to you and say, hand it over, bud. Have I given you a gift? I haven't given you any gift. If there are any circumstances under the sun under which I can come back to you and say, hand it over, you haven't behaved properly. You did what I told you not to do. You failed to keep on believing. Give it back. If there are any circumstances under which I can come back to you and say, give it back to me, I want that pen back, then I haven't given you a gift at all. There's something you have to do to earn the gift. Now, when God gives a gift, and in this case, being justified, we're declared righteous. He means what he's talking about. When he gives you the gift of justification, when he gives you the gift of the righteousness of Christ and imputes that to your heavenly account book, he means it is a gift. And if there are any circumstances under which he can come back and say, you're no longer justified, it was not a gift. It was something that you had to earn, at least in part. And if you had to earn it, at least in part, you had to earn it all together, because you cannot mix grace and works. It's on the basis of grace, and if it isn't on the basis of grace anymore, it's on the basis of works, and grace is no longer grace. So please understand that when God says you're justified as a gift, He means as a gift. It's yours forever. It is a justification which cannot be taken away from you. It is a justification which God would not imagine in His farthest dream, if there could be such a thing, ever taking away from you again. It's yours forever. Otherwise, it is not a gift. Please admit that. It's either a gift or it isn't a gift. And if you have to maintain anything, if you have to struggle to keep your faith in place, if you have to struggle to stay in Christ, then this gift is not a gift. No, you're justified without a cause. God didn't give it to you for any reason in you whatsoever. It's without a cause, without a reason. He didn't say, I think I'll justify you because you really aren't that bad after all. No, no. It was without a cause. It was completely undeserved. And if you got it undeservedly in the first place, then you're going to be able to keep it undeservedly forever and ever. God has declared you righteous at the moment of faith. How did He do this? By His grace. Now, we know what the definition of grace is. We saw it in our Sunday school class today. God's unmerited favor extended to those who did not deserve it. Undeserving. Can we really believe this? We really don't deserve this. It's really free. God gives it. A lot of people think God is sitting up there in the courtroom. He's on the throne and He can't wait to nail people. And then they figure, Jesus, well, He really loves man. He's down here trying to save folk, you know. But God, He's up there. No, no. Whose grace is this? For all sin have come short of the glory of God. Fall short of the glory of God. Being justified as a gift by His, God's grace. God wants to save people. He's not at odds with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to save people by His grace, God's grace. God loves me today. I'm glad about that. God loves you today. He does not want you to go to hell. And He does not want you, as His daughter or son, to be frustrated, doubting where you are going to spend eternity. God does not want you like that. He wants you to be secure. He does not want you to doubt that you are, in fact, His child in the faith. He doesn't want you to doubt that. God loves you. He's extending His undeserved favor, His grace. How can He do this? Can He just disregard sin? No, no. It is through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. There's three words for redemption in the Bible. Agorazo, and then the same word again with a little Greek prefix, X, in front of it, and then the word that we have here, and I'll get to that in a minute. Agorazo means to buy in the marketplace, to buy in the marketplace. That's a good word. It's good for sinners to be bought in the marketplace, but this is a better word, X agorazo. It means to buy in the marketplace, to take out, and to be placed in a position of no further sale. To buy, take out of the marketplace, and to be placed in a position of no further sale. That's security. And that's a beautiful word. And here we have the word lutrosis, with a little preposition on the front of it to make it stronger, apo lutrosis. And that is a wonderful word. And it's the word here now, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And it means to buy, to take out of the marketplace, and to set free. To buy, take out of the marketplace, and to set free. Free! No longer in bondage. No longer worrying where we're going. No longer fearing hell. Set free. Free to do what? Sin? No. Set free to serve God. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, do not be enslaved or in bondage, entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Buy. Take out of the marketplace of sin and to set free. And the emphasis on the word is upon the price paid. And that ought to give you some assurance, because what was the price paid? The price of the blood of Jesus himself. And we'll get to that next time. But this is the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And this word, Christ here, emphasizes Christ in his mediatorial role. He is mediating between man and God. And you know that beautiful passage? Let me just turn and read it for you. I'm not asking you to turn to this. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God. I referred to him earlier. He's the one that had the grace for us. And there's one mediator also between God and man. This is Christ in his mediatorial role here. The man, Christ Jesus. What did he do? Gave himself as a ransom. There's the price. Emphasis on the price paid. Gave himself as a ransom for how many? All. Gave himself as a ransom for all. The testimony born at the proper time. So what do we have in the text today? We're justified. We are declared righteous, not because we are righteous, but based on the finished work of Christ. How could he do it? It was as a gift. It wasn't based on any kind of payment that we would make, or our future life, or our past life, or our present life. No, it's based surely on the concept of gift giving. We're declared righteous as a gift. How could he do it? By his grace. He extends unmerited favor to people that don't deserve it. How could he do it? Since God cannot be caught in a position where he ignores sin, it was through the redemption, the price paid, which is in Christ Jesus. I wonder today, do you have assurance of your salvation? Do you know where you're going when you die? If you don't know where you're going when you die, there's only one reason for it. You don't believe this verse. That's the only reason for it. You don't believe this verse. You think that there is something you must add. And God says that there isn't going to be anyone justified on the basis of law keeping. No one. And that includes you, no matter how righteous you may appear as you struggle to live what you think is the Christian life. God says no justification on that basis. If you could be justified like that, then Christ died needlessly, and it was a terrible mistake. But Christ has not died needlessly, and there's nothing you can do to contribute to your own salvation. And the only way you can be justified today, if you aren't already, is to believe the Word. And when you believe the Word, you're believing in Him whom He has sent as your ransom price. And at the moment you believe, you'll be declared righteous, and the account books in heaven will be eternally changed concerning you forever. And you'll be granted the gift of eternal life, an irrevocable gift. And for the first time in your life, you'll be set free to serve our precious Lord Jesus Christ because you love Him, not because you're terrified of Him. Even though we will maintain an awesome respect for this loving God of ours, who has all power and all might and can do anything He wants. But never, when Jesus or God, when these members of the Trinity do anything they want, they never, ever, 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 ever contradict the Word. This is reliable information. They will never back down from this. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Now, God has made His decisions. It's time for you to make yours. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, number 200.